Hello, everybody, and welcome to Decibel Prod's Anime Podcast 2012. So we also with this show we also have new music. The music that you just heard was Magic Trooper by Mord Fustang. You can find a link to a bunch of his shit in the description. I almost dropped my stapler. So as always, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. With over 100,000 audiobooks, including some New York Times bestsellers, Audible is your one-stop shop for all your electronic literature needs. Go to audibletrial.com/deathdoorprod to sign up for a free 14-day trial and to get yourself a free audiobook. That's audibletrial.com/deathdoorprod. Also, Busted Tees. Started in 2004 by the College Humor people, Busted Tees have been bringing you awesome and hilarious graphic t-shirts for a period of no less than 7, but no more than 8 years. Click the link in the description to get yourself a grab bag of shirts, which is four shirts for $30 to save yourself 60%. So again, that is in the description. Also, we have a Rocket Hub in case you want to donate. So link in the description, or go to rkthb.com/4350. Donate some money. We have less than 40 days left, and more than $1,000 to raise. So yeah, get on that. Also, we have shit to sell, because. Yeah. So go to deathstoreprods.com/store and get yourself some shirts, some tote bags, some other stupid shit probably. I think we have buttons.
I think it's just shirts and buttons right now. Oh, and laptop cases and messenger bags.
Yeah, that's what I said with the bags.
Yeah.
We got bags for shit with a white version of our logo on it. So hey, there's that. As always, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Join me today, as per usual, we have Bovion.
Hey.
And back from the Wi-Fi hellhole that is Metcalf, we have Puchtron.
Woohoo! Internet.
Yes, you have come back from the Dark Ages. How does it feel to step into the glorious light of the internet? It feels right, doesn't it?
Yeah, I get to waste a hell of a lot more time.
You just look like a penguin, eh? He said something awkward. Okay, so yeah, we're here talking about some anime. So I guess we'll get back into the big three. So with Naruto, it's been Naruto and B fighting the reincarnated corpses of the other Jinchuriki. And they all have their beasts inside them. And so Naruto has kind of... He's done some stuff.
I'm sorry, I don't quite get this logic. He took out their tailed beasts, thus killing them, only to resurrect them and put the tailed beasts back in.
He didn't expect Naruto to be such a problem. I guess.
And also, they were less than helpful when they were alive.
Good point. I'm guessing this is excluding Gaara.
Yeah, done.
Gaara's a special case. He was resurrected.
Just the 2 through 7, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, no, he has the one. It's just...
No, I mean, the 2 through 7...
He's not in somebody.
Yeah, I mean, the 2 through 7 were the ones that he revived to send back at him.
Yes,
they were the ones that he put back into the bodies that would then go and fight. Because, yeah, anime. So Naruto's been talking, for the past couple chapters, he's been talking with the monkey dude, the four-tailed beast. And he's been trying to make friends with him, because it's Naruto, he makes friends with everybody, eventually.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing
He ends up killing them, he makes friends with them.
Yeah, that's the thing when you're an enemy of Naruto's, you either wind up dead or you wind up his friend.
Or both.
Yes, you wind up dead, and you turn a leaf on, and it's like, hey, you're not such a bad guy, then you die.
Pain.
Zabuza.
Yeah.
Fucking everybody. Christ. Okay, so what have you guys been thinking of the chat? What have you guys been thinking of what's been going on in Naruto? Well, Punch-Prom specifically, because I guess you haven't been reading the manga, have you, Bogey?
Yeah, I'll briefly mention the anime once Pudge is done.
Okay.
But, I'm not sure how they're going... I mean, I can understand one or two of him getting the tailed beasts in this fashion,
mm-hmm.
just jump ship
mm-hmm.
from Toby. But it would either be very tedious, or it'll be interesting to see how he gets the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least half of them, because then, you know, they'd have numbers and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm guessing that like, after he gets, like, the whole really, like, after he gets, like, the talking all done with the Monkey King, like, Ninetales might actually show him how to get, like, the full Ninetales form. Because he couldn't really get it before, because, like, the Ninetales was fighting him. Wasn't that the thing, like, that, like, the reason he couldn't go, like, full Ninetales transformation was because the Ninetales was, like, resistant to it?
You mean when he's fighting Pain and he goes absolutely crazy?
No, I mean, like, when, like, you know how, he can actually turn into the Eight Tails.
Okay, yeah, that thing. But I would say, yeah, that might be, or at the very least, he'd get a massive chakra boost from the other tailed beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I figured it would do would be, like, you know, the ape would give him the secret of how to, the ape would, like, talk to him stuff. He'd get, like, a conversation going with the QB, and then just go full Ninetales and just whip everyone into submission.
That could very well happen.
Yeah. Okay, so, Bobby, anime, what's been happening?
Well, I haven't watched this week's episode. It just came out today. But up to this point, the filler finally ended last week.
Yay!
So finally Naruto is on Paradise Island.
Okay then.
And he's just started the whole waterfall training bit.
Where he punches a waterfall, it's the Ryu training method.
No, where he fights his evil twin out of the waterfall.
Mm-hmm. I was just making a bad Street Fighter joke.
Shut up. No one wants your stupid jokes.
Yeah, because Ryu, he punches waterfalls.
Anyways, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I guess move on to Bleach. So Bleach has been just, the fight's over, so now they're getting the weird navel-gazing part of it.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be too long this time. I can only imagine the filler arc that the anime is going to throw in there.
Oh, it's going to be something stupid with the new guy, with that new captain. What's his face? The guy with the two swords that was like right in the middle of the Iron Car. It's like, and he kept fighting the Iron Car. But meanwhile, this shit was happening. Just the ad. Fuck that guy. Okay, so Pudge. Yeah. Oh, yes, Bobby, you're saying stuff?
I was just going to say, the one thing I'm glad from this chapter is I'm glad to see they finally filled those captain positions.
Mm-hmm. Because that was nice. That was cool. Looking forward to seeing who the new guys are. Well, two of the new guys, because we know one of the new guys, I think.
I thought they were both Vizards.
Yeah.
At that point. Yeah. They're both Vizards.
But they need three new captains.
They needed three?
Didn't they?
You're right. They needed three.
Yeah, it was Aizen, Gin, and the blind guy.
Yeah. So yeah, they totally do need a third, whoever that's going to be.
I'd be willing to bet they got the Kido Corps guy.
Hmm.
Big man.
Hmm.
I can't remember his name right now. Yeah, that guy. He was a Vizard, too.
Oh, that guy.
He was some Tessai's lieutenant.
The guy with the powers. The guy who had powers like Gorihime's, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet he's the new captain of the Kido Corps.
It's not Ikkaku, even though he's qualified for captain.
Mm-hmm.
Or Renji, even though he's qualified for captain.
Yep, which neither of them want to be captain.
Nope.
That's where I go, yeah! It's like, yeah, I'm below somebody. And then kill somebody.
Well, Renji wants to be the captain. It's just, he wants to be captain because he beats Byakuya.
Yeah, he wants to beat Byakuya before he can be captain. And then Ikkaku just wants to fight under Kenny, because Kenny's awesome. Yeah, and so I guess let's bleach on to One Piece. It's been...
Hold on. I did have something I have repeatedly meant to say about the anime for Bleach. Mm-hmm. That has been annoying the fuck out of me. So, because this happened a little while ago. You know how in the early Fullbring training for Ichigo, mm-hmm. his Fullbring is just the guard from his sword?
Yes.
And that's supposed to be a swastika?
Yes, it's very swastika looking.
Well, it is a swastika. It's just not the tilted swastika, which is the sign of the Nazis. It's the normal swastika, which means...
peace.
Something. Yeah, I mean peace.
Yeah, it's like
it's a several different cultures.
Yeah, it's a symbol for, like, the Jains and the Buddhists.
Anyways, and it's actually supposedly important to Ichigo's character. So, when he went Bankai in the anime, they kept the swastika as the guard. I guess they figured that's subtle enough. But when he's using this, it's now a cross.
Oh, of course it is.
And that pisses me right the fuck off.
Yeah, that's supposed to be Udyu's thing. Like, Ishida, I think Ishida at one point, like, his bow kind of looked like a cross at some point or something, or he had, like, or like, the thing that he used to summon his bow was, like, a cross.
Yeah, there's been plenty of stuff like that with him, and that's part of his symbolism, but Ichigo, that part of his symbolism is the swastika, and definitely not a cross, but they made it a cross. I guess they figured that he isn't allowed to wield a giant swastika.
I guess.
So that's been pissing me off, and I haven't been mentioning it for the past few podcasts because I keep forgetting to mention it, but it pisses me off. Fucking censorship.
Okay. What's that humming?
Yo, what the hell is that?
That may be a laundry machine on my end.
Yeah, it's on your end. Okay, well, I guess we'll ignore it. On to One Piece. So, One Piece has gotten... it's in its own, like, end-of-arc thing, where it, like, usually what happens with a One Piece arc is it has the introduction of the scene, and then the introduction of the problem, and then Luffy and crew beat the shit of everybody, and then it ends with Luffy being compared to one of the great pirates. So, in this one, like, he's on Fishman Island, and one of the big things that happened in Fishman Island's history was Whitebeard, who was one of the, like, four great pirate warlords. Like, Fishman Island was, like, overrun with pirates, people, like capturing mermaids and selling them as slaves, and then Whitebeard showed up and said, this is my territory, you kill nobody from here, you take it from me. And so then they were just left it alone, and then Luffy is, like, yelling at somebody saying, this is my land now, just try to take it. So now he's Whitebeard, I guess. So, yeah, there's that. Well, yeah, and Smoker's back, so that's awesome. Because I actually do kind of like Smoker. He's just like a dude who turns into smoke, rides a motorcycle that is powered by smoke, and is always smoking two cigars at a time. It just has like...
that's the definition of badass.
Yeah, he just has like his entire sleeves are just like... he has like a bandolier of cigars. So that's awesome. Okay, yeah, we kind of blew through that, so I guess on to what we've been reading over the last little while. So, Bowie.
Okay, I've been reading so much manga, but I have been watching some anime, so I'm going to get into those. Number one, Guilty Crown. Mm. This one, honestly, I've watched two episodes of it. Initially plays out a lot like Code Geass. So, basically, you have your high school student, don't remember his name, and Japan is now occupied. Only it's occupied for a different reason. In this anime, it's occupied because they fell victim to a virus and asked another country for aid. Mm-hmm. And then that country basically said, okay, we'll help you, but then we're occupying you. You're part of our empire. They agreed. So there's mechs. And so it does the usual thing. The student runs into the weird girl who then gives him a strange power. In this case, it's a lot more direct than the one given to Lelouch. It's actually like this sword that he can use to fight mechs. And it gives him all these enhanced abilities.
Sword to fight mechs.
So he basically fights mechs with a sword. And he needs the girl actually present to take it out of her chest. Yeah, which does make for a lot of interesting scenes when she, like, grabs his hand and puts it to her chest, and she's like, I belong to you now.
Sounds like Code Geass crossed with Kondakime.
Anyways, key difference is, one, the main character. A lot of people argue it's better because he's more likable than Lelouch. I argue not, because he's more of a fucking moron.
And plus, you love a good bad guy.
Yeah, and Lelouch was bad for the right reasons, and he went into the situation, and he dominated because of his intelligence. This guy is more of the, you know, the usual high school hero who started the situation and has no idea what's going on, and basically bumbles his way to victory.
So he's Ichigo?
Not even Ichigo. I would say he's early Muto Kazuki. if anyone here watches Busou Renken.
Nope.
He's not as retarded.
What? No, more. He doesn't even want to be fighting.
Well, would you?
So he's...
Every day you get a feel of a girl and fight next with a giant sword, of course we'll be fighting.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah... It really does play out a lot like Code Geass. I'm starting to see where there might be some differences, but... anyways, moving on to something. I only watched one episode, but I really liked this series. Moretsu Space Pirates.
Hmm.
You can probably tell from the title why it's so good. It has fucking space pirates.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with space pirates.
So basically, this one's set in the distant future. Sorry, I bumped my mic. Where... humans have started colonizing other planets under an Earth Empire. However, one of the planets decided they wanted independence. They didn't have a strong enough military of their own, so they started giving out what are called letters of marque, which were a real thing that basically say that you're no longer a pirate, you're a privateer. Basically, your job is to fuck up the enemies instead of us, and then we'll let you continue operating as pirates.
Wow. That sounds like a foolproof plan. It couldn't possibly backfire at any point.
Well, it doesn't really. They win the war, and, you know, the pirates are still around. I don't think they're particularly attacking the government. The government is trying to kind of work loopholes to stop the letters of marque from being in continuance anymore. So basically, we find out that the one day character who we were following, it's this teenage girl, I forget what her name is, she just happens to be a really good space pilot. It's apparently in her blood. So basically, she finds out that her mother was a pirate, and that her father was the captain of a ship. He's now dead, and the letter of marque says that the only person who can be a new captain is a direct descendant of the first captain. So she's the only person who can be the captain of this ship, so she's now got pirates trying to recruit her, the government trying to intervene, and some unknown force trying to assassinate her.
Oh, that's fun.
And
it sounds awesome.
It comes to this hilarious climax in the middle of a cafe that she works at.
Is it a maid cafe?
Sorry?
Is it a maid cafe?
It is a maid cafe.
Outstanding.
So, yeah. It's a really great series. I'd recommend it to anybody, even though I've only watched one episode. I'm going to be watching a ton more.
So you said... She said it was Muto Space Pirates?
Moretsu. Which I think is miniskirt.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, what else you got?
I watched more of Usagi Drop. I always watch the anime on a fairly regular basis. It's still a cutesy slice of life thing. He's got... The main character guy has this whole sort of romance going on with this single mom.
Okay.
Time skip in the anime?
Basically there's, the books are written the same way. The second season hasn't actually been made yet, but basically, first season, Rin, who's the actual main character, is, a child. Second season, Rin is a teenager.
Okay.
People figure this is because it's basically autobiographical of the author. So, you know, they're not just going to fill it with her being a kid forever and funny situations. She's telling a story of a life, so she skips a few years.
Well, you never know. I mean, like, for all we know, she could have been a kid forever. That would have been more interesting. Like, just the entire series is just like... her going through her life, but she's still a kid. You're just like, she's just driving, but she's like two, but she's like 3 feet tall.
But yeah, it's a cute little slice of life that I always enjoy watching. I don't watch it on a very regular basis, just when I go to the meetings, which are like twice a month, so.
Okay. What else you got?
I don't think there's anything else.
Oh, okay. So, Pudge.
All right. So, I have recently started watching the Daily Lives of High School Boys.
Of course you have.
Oh, you mean anime. Okay. but seriously, there is a new anime out called Daily Lives of High School Boys, and it's about these three friends.
Is it about the daily lives of high school boys?
Basically. If you're familiar with Nichijou at all.
Nope, doesn't sound familiar.
It's kind of reminiscent of that, except it's more realistic in how ridiculous it gets. Like, it's all realistic situations and all that crap, as opposed to crap blowing up all over the place, which is what Nichijou is. It's kind of a gender-swapped Nichijou that's a little more realistic, but no less, more serious.
Okay.
So, I think there's only one episode out so far, which was hilarious. And basically it consists of, well, there's these three friends, and they just get up into weird situations. And there's this one girl who showed up towards the end, who I pretty sure is gonna factor in, because they show her on the cover art of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. It's fairly low-key, you know, slice of life kind of thing. But that's about it, all of it. Then there was a new Helsing series is coming out. Is out.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Helsing Ultimate, or am I way off?
The Dawn.
Okay. I'm way off.
It's a sort of prequel, but yes, Ultimate was...
Thank you for reminding me of the other thing I watched. I'll let you finish, though.
But The Dawn is basically the story of Walter and Alucard during World War II, fighting the Nazis.
Of course there's Nazis.
So it's like a 13-year-old Walter Dalmais and Alucard. You know, at Walter's peak, when he was the Angel of Death, with his wire fingers
with
and whatever.
With those sick gloves. That was supposed to be a bitch to, like, just walk around in, though.
But yeah, it's very well done so far. Okay. I mean, there's only been one episode. Winter season, it's just starting, so.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff will only be one episode in.
Okay.
I'll let Bovey do his aside, and then I'll jump back.
Okay, Bovey?
So yes, the other thing I watch. By the way, I totally got the title of that one wrong. It's not Muratsu Space Pirates, it's just Muratsu Pirates. Although it is about space pirates, don't worry.
Okay.
So, the other thing I've been watching is Helsing Ultimate Abridged.
you really like the Abridged stuff.
I like the Abridged stuff when Team 4-Star does it, which they've only done Dragon Ball Z and two episodes of Helsing Ultimate. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking hilarious. God, I have no words to describe how amazing it is. Like, the Alucard constantly calling, I can't even remember her name, police girl, big titty police girl.
Sarah Victoria?
Yeah. Everyone just calls her police girl in this. especially Alucard tends to call her the big-tittied police girl.
Fitting.
God, he's the most amazing character in this. I haven't watched any actual Helsing to know what he's actually like. God, I hope it's somewhere close to this.
Probably not.
I hope it's at least somewhat similar.
Yeah, like, I have not
kind
watched...
Kind of condescending, kind of crazy.
Yes, like, I've not watched Abridged, but I've watched, like, the regular Helsing, like the first anime series they did for it. And I don't think he ever referred to actually Victoria by name.
Nope.
He ever does. I think he just hey, shoot this guy. And like gives her like a fucking huge cannon that's like twice the size of her, just like shoot down dudes with.
Because, and I'm quoting the abridged here, bitches love cannons.
Which he does.
We need a gun for the police girl. I already have a gun. Give that bitch a cannon. Bitches love cannons.
It's also like he's yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, that's the other thing I watched that I couldn't remember.
Wait, what's Father Anderson, I think his name's like? The dude with the knives.
He's crazy, completely insane, and at one point he's just constantly quoting the Boondock Saints, but doesn't think he is. Just like, Boondock Saints. Man, you must watch that movie religiously. Ah, you see what I did there?
in the regular thing, he just kind of like hypocrite. Like, I must kill all uncured things, like all immortals. Essentially, I think he's like, I think this mission, like, he's all, I'd kill all immortals except, but he's an immortal.
Yeah, I know, because he gets shot in the head and he's fine.
Yeah, like he gets fucking stabbed to hell. Like he gets fucking shot up by Alucard, and he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Just like pulls out his knives and then just goes.
I think he's got more of a healing factor than being immortal, but, I mean, that's kind of similar.
And in the Abridged series, they really try and make him and Alucard have similarities in the stupid shit that they say. Like, they both refer to, if I killed the leprechaun, would Lucky Charms spill out? Just all the stupid shit that they say, it's the same for both of them.
Okay, so... Yeah, so yes, shining recommendation for Helsing Abridged from a Bobby. So, Pudge,
Helsing what else? Ultimate Abridged.
Helsing Ultimate Abridged. Yeah. So, Pudge, what else you got?
All right. Now, this one I've gotten two different translations of the title. It doesn't really matter because they mean basically the same thing. It's either "Kill Me, Baby" or "Baby, Please Kill Me." It's. Let me just lead off with. It's based off of a 4-coma manga. A 4-coma gag manga. So I'm sure you can guess what it's going to end up like. But basically, there's this pretty airheaded high school girl who's friends with, well, a professional assassin who also attends the same school, and it's kind of just them being friends with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There have been no real mention of any sort of actual violence besides from the assassin on the airhead. One of the running gags is the main character kind of surprises her assassin friend, and the assassin like breaks her arm just out of reflex. And it's a very funny show. And the manga is quite extensive as well. So, but it is a 4-coma that's kind of an acquired taste for reading, I realize. There's a lot of up and down and up and down. But it is funny. It's good if you just want some mindless humor.
Okay.
There's also a ninja who shows up later on, which is...
Of course there is.
The only actual quote-unquote ninja technique I've seen her do is when she's upside down on the roof, like standing on the roof, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The actual technique is not her standing on the roof. It's her hair and skirt don't obey gravity. They stay normal. That's the technique. That's about the only thing. Everything else is just like she holds up a sheet in front of her and you kind of need to see it to understand the weird crap that goes on in the show.
Okay, I have to look into that. Anything else?
Let's just make it one last one. I actually just found this one today. It is probably one of the more brilliant ones that I've found in a while. It's called Ware wa Ken-O. Ken-O, which is Ken-O-U.
Okay.
!! But, basically, I didn't really get a good description down, so I'll just read word for word from MangaFox. Yoshiaki is entering a school that is famous for its fights and violence. He chose to go there just for that reason, and he intends to be the strongest one there. When he first arrives, he helps out a girl called Homura, who is being picked on by some guards. When she asks him to be her sword afterward, Yoshiaki doesn't know how to respond. Apparently, students of the school team up in pairs, a sword and a master. Others advise him not to associate with the girl, who is a rank F, and she probably won't live very long. However, Yoshiaki is not thrilled with the idea of abandoning her to die. Basically,
Sounds kind of like Shitsuraku.
A little. I'm drawing more parallels to Freezing.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. Can see that.
Without the gratuitous boobage. Really? Yeah.
It's kind of like the reverse thing of that, like where the guy's the weapon and the girl is just kind of in the background.
But basically, what it boils down to is there are regular students, and then there's the special students at this school, and basically, I think the stat that they give in the actual manga is, like, by the end of the first 3 months, or 30 days or something, something to do with a three, the end of the first month, one in 50 students at the school will be dead. It's basically, apparently, they've put it up to this, left it to this high school alone to decide who will rule the country. Because basically all of the masters have sort of their territories. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of boiled down Japan to its ancient kind of country, state things.
Yeah.
So each of them is sort of the representative for the ruling family of that state. Mm-hmm. And their swords are given certain abilities based on how much territory the master has under their control and so on and so forth. And the rank F is her basic, why she's a rank F, is that she has no territory. But he's like the strongest sword that could ever possibly happen. So
okay.
He gets no actual special abilities. He just gets sort of extra vigor. Because that's sort of a standard for them, regardless.
Okay.
You know, he took down a fully registered sword of a relatively influential person.
Cool.
Before he was named as a sword. Before he got the extra powers and stuff. So that's just kind of... He's really powerful. And he fights using a balance beam.
A balance beam?
Yeah, like gymnastic, full-length gymnastics balance beam. For a couple chapters.
So does he just carry it around with him on his shoulder the entire time? Or does he, like, pull it out of his ass?
He literally just carries it into school one day.
Or is it... I thought they would have just gone with, like, the weird cartoon thing of it's behind his back. Just like that nebulous void where you just like reach behind your back to pull anything.
It's like no matter.
Pull it out of hammer space. But basically, in one of the first fights he gets into, it's kind of an improvised weapon. And
so wait, he just happened to be fighting some guy near a balance beam.
Well, he was kind of chased into the gym storage closet.
So it's the gym storage closet, so I'm guessing there was, like, sports equipment.
Sorry.
Yeah, so I'm guessing there was sports equipment in there at some point. So he just, like, all right, so we got hockey sticks, we got field hockey sticks. You know what, I'll go with a balance beam.
Yeah, you should have gone with the hockey stick. Them things are powerful.
Yeah. Wait, I'm just wondering, does the balance beam still have the legs on it?
Yeah, at least at first. The second time you see it, I think they've been taken off.
So it just
looks like a giant 4x4.
So he's just rolling around the fucking balance beam.
Yes, he's an especially large man.
That's insane.
But it does get very kind of dark and stuff.
I am definitely fucking looking
into
this series.
Very much in the way that Freezing does, you know. Mm. Kind of get people do the kind of crazy eyes that that they do in manga.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's going to do it for me. I've got some other stuff, but I can do that another time. It's not super important that I let people know.
Okay, so I have three series I'm going to be talking about. So I've been reading like the regular stuff, you know, like Ratman and all that other stuff. But there are three that I really want to talk about. One of them, the first one's Cage of Eden. I've talked about it a lot before, but Death Toll just released, like, I'm pretty sure, like, two or three volumes of Cage of Eden. And it's just getting insane. So we've just got... So at this point, Sengoku, like, Akira and his... And, like, a small, like, 10 people from his group have been... Have, like, gone to find this guy called Nishikiori, who is, like, who's a doctor, but he's also, like, a slave driver. And so he set up shop at the pyramid, which is like just a pyramid on the island. And he wants the guys, like, there's also like an old destroyed runway right next to it, so he thinks there might be a plane inside. So he's been sending people in there time and time again to try to find out what's down there, but the people keep dying. So he decides to send like the entire group down there, hoping they'll all die.
They all get superpowers. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No, they all go down there and they all find out that everything on the island was man-made. Like a bunch of scientists actually just went out there and then started, like, just combined DNA from different animals that exist today to try to create these extinct species of animals.
Jurassic Park.
Yes, that's essentially it. It's just Jurassic Park. Like, I've always been saying it. It's essentially just Jurassic Park crossed with... It's Jurassic Park... It's equal parts Jurassic Park, Lost, and The Lord of the Flies. That is that entire series in a nutshell. Like, it's just, like, someone just Frankensteined. It is.
Only with the...
it's the Lost Park of the Flies.
Only with the batshit craziness of Japan.
Like, we haven't really seen Lord... I'm actually really looking forward to when they bring Lord Hades back, because that guy was kind of awesome. Like, there's some dude, he just, like, from the school, we have no idea who he was, he wore a mask, he just knocked out Akira, tied him up, and hung him off a cliff, and he's like, I am Lord Hades, all shall worship me, and then just runs away. And then we never see him again. But I'm really looking forward to it. So we've got like a new teacher back. He's got one of the teachers back. So I'm guessing at some point he's going to try to put the moves on Umori, who's a flight attendant with huge tits. Then again, everyone in this fucking series has huge tits.
Makes sense.
Of course.
Yeah, it's pretty eshy. So yeah, it's getting really insane. Like all this shit that's going on in the pyramid. And then we got like Yarai, who is kind of the Akira of the different group, because like Akira was essentially just voted the president of their little commune thing that they have, because he was he's the one who's like survived the most, I guess. And then Yarai is the other one. He's like with a group of three girls and their teacher, who may or may not be in love with. Like he might have some weird kind of Oedipal thing going on with his teacher, because his teacher's like his mom, I guess.
Creepy.
Yeah, just been like filling out all the back. It's just been filling out all this insane shit that's been going on the island, and I've been really loving it. It's been fucking insane.
You know, if I had a time machine, one thing I would do is I would take a volume of manga like Cradle of Monsters or Cage of Eden, and I would go back in time and I would give it to Freud and say, "Go nuts."
It's like, excuse me, I have something from Japan that I want you to look at. And he's like, "Old Japan." Or whatever the fuck Freud sounds. I can't do those accents.
Where's Japan? Where's this Japan?
What is this Japan of which you speak? Never mind, just have a look at this.
The Germans
knew
where
Japan was. Just like looks at it, it's like, oh my god. Oh my god, what is wrong with these people?
The Germans knew where Japan was.
Shut up, no they didn't.
Fucking, I don't know. Okay, so yeah, Cage of Eden, it's still getting on. It's getting even more awesome. I fucking love it. We're getting to the big encounter between Akira and Nishikiori. And, like, the guy who introduced Nishikiori into the series, him and the Buddha guy, like, the priest that they have with, the monk they have with them, they kind of essentially just said that this guy is the anti-Akira. He is Bizarro Akira, so it's going to be interesting seeing how these guys, like, square off against each other.
Does he have a goatee?
No, he does not. He has a hoodie.
Hoodies.
But no goatee.
They're totally evil.
No goatee, but he has, like, longer hair and a hoodie.
Man, never trust a guy in a hoodie.
Yeah, look at Kane. We'll move on from that. Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, so second new series. This is actually brand new. Like, it's only two chapters. It's only two chapters deep. It is Freezing First Chronicle. I wrote a review of this. It's up on the site. You can check it out. I gave it a 4 out of 5. So this is a prequel spin-off thing to the Freezing, and it focuses on Chiffon Fairchild, the smiling monster of West genetics. So this takes place, I'm guessing, 2 years before the current events that's going on in Freezing. And so Chiffon it starts out with, like, Ticey M. Fennel, who is Chiffon's right hand. She is the vice president of the student council. And she is, like, she is just the slave girl gopher to a bunch of rich bitches. And then Chiffon comes in, befriends her, and there's one big problem. There's two big problems that I have with the series. There's a reason I gave it a 4 instead of a higher score. So, one thing is the art. I am not a fan of it. I'm a fan of it, but compared to the main series, I am not a fan of it. Because Freezing is a manhwa, so it's Korean. And Korean comics have always had a slightly different art style to Japanese comics, which I've been very fond of. But First Chronicle feels too Japan.
Yeah, even just looking at the image you posted on the site, it does look very Japan.
And have you seen any images from, like, Freezing?
No, I have not.
So yeah, just look up some of those, like, yeah, after we're done recording, or you just do an album talking. But yeah, like, it looks similar, but, like, the faces are just too round, the eyes are a bit too big, and, like, the weird expressions that people make. Like, there's one bit in the first chapter where Annette, who's the fourth ranked in the school right now, and in the main series, she is just freaking the fuck out. And so then her eyes just, like, they just turn into anime eyes. Like, they slant up, like, 45 degrees. Her eyes just turn into, like, her eyes just turn into, like, just pure white, but with, like, a weird squiggly black circle in it, which is their pissed off thing. But like, in the main series, the art has always been, like, within set parameters. Like, people's eyes, they never get bigger or misshapen into weird ways with different expressions. Like, their eyes either get, like, open up wider when they're, like, surprised or angry or scared or something, and, like, when they're somber or, like, feeling emotional or something, like, their eyes close a bit. So it's always been a bit realistic, I guess. Like, it's a bit more realistic with the eyes, and that's kind of something I've been fond of. Also, the boobs.
Something you've been fond of?
Yeah, by the way, I just looked up Freezing images, and, you know, that was 50% of it. It was boobs.
Yeah, so boobs. Boobs are a big part of Freezing. They're like, you know, the staples of the thing that you say to try to sell someone on Freezing is, all right, so we got this awesome story about girls with awesome powers fighting off giant beings from another dimension and huge fucking epic battles and shit. Also, everyone has huge boobs. That's why I sell the series to people. But in this one, the boobs are much smaller, much less prevalent, and they are weird. They change size from panel to panel. Like, you know, one panel when they're on the shower, like, they have, like, the really small boobs, like, the more realistic ones, but then when they get out of the shower, they, like, grow, like, 3 cup sizes.
So they're stuffing. Whatever.
Yeah, but everybody?
Yep.
In a classroom that, at that point, was pretty much full of girls?
Yep.
It's just weird to me. Like, it just feels kind of wrong. You know, it feels wrong to have small boobs that get bigger when you put them in shirts, when in the main series, it's just big all the time. Just everyone's just fucking stacked. And so another thing that I had a problem with was the class warfare. So I have been watching a lot of The Daily Show, so I have been seeing a lot of class warfare shits, and I am fucking sick of it. Like, at one point, Fox tried to convince people that the Muppet movie was promoting class warfare.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, they said the reason that was doing that was because, like, alright, so the villain is an oil baron called Tex Richmond, and so the Muppets are trying to take him down. It's class warfare. You know, a bunch of poor people trying to take down a rich guy.
Yeah, they for once, Fox News has half a point, but not really.
So there's one bit in First Chronicle, like first chapter, where like all like the queen bitch and her two bottom bitches, they're all having like lunch with Chiffon, saying like, you really shouldn't hang out with Tyson. She's so poor. She has like just a 0 pointer. Oh, more tea. And then like we should get her to get us more tea. And then Chiffon is like, my dad is kind of an ordinary businessman. And the three of them just all of a sudden get this look on their face, like she just killed somebody in front of them and started drinking his blood. It's like, my dad's ordinary businessman. It is just so fucking insane. It's just really fucking stupid, and I do not like it one bit. But that was just kind of like, it just kind of happened, and then it kind of moved on from it, so that was good. And they seem to be getting more into, like, how Chiffon is going to be fucking insane, because Chiffon as a character has always been one of the more interesting characters to me in the main series. They call her, like, the smiling monster. She's the undisputed first rank in the entire school, but we don't really see her do anything. You know, at one point she hides behind a person because Satellizer gave her a dirty look. And so it's just really weird to me. Like, it was just like that kind of thing of, okay, when are you going to see her do something badass? And the only thing we've really seen is one bit where, like, the school is being invaded by Rogue Pandora. She pulled out her giant claw thing and then just kind of cut away before I could see her whooping all their asses.
So she's the Mira Jane of the group.
The what?
Mira Jane, Fairy Tale.
Oh, yes.
She's really fucking awesome, but seems really useless.
Yeah, but, like, everyone knows her. Like, they refer to her as, like, the smiling monster and the undisputed number one ranked. Yeah, like, in the Fairy Tale, in, like, the Freezing series, I mean, they have this thing in each genetics school called the, what was it, called the Carnival. And there's a carnival, there are, like, four carnivals a year, one for each season. And what would happen is the people would, like, all the Pandora would go inside there without their limiters and just start fighting each other. And that would determine their ranking. Like, whoever defeated the most Pandora, they got, like, a certain point. Every time you defeated her, you got a certain point amount. And then the more points you get, the higher up rank you are. And so they're just going through, it was like third place Ticey had, like, 2,000. The second place had 28,000, had, like, 2,800. And then her first place rank was 35,000. So just going from second of just under 3,000 to first place of almost 40,000.
Yeah, that's a huge fucking gap, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping that this series delves more into just, like, how she actually managed to go up the ranks and just become the ultimate power. And I'm also actually looking forward to seeing all the other different, like, third years, because this series is going to be focusing on all the third years when they were first years. So it's Annette, Creo, Elizabeth, a whole bunch of people that, like, have usually gone into fights with the Satellizer at some point. Just seeing them in their early years and maybe what led up to them being such huge evil bitches. So that's going to be really cool. So, like I said, it's 4 to 5. You can read the review on the site if you want, like, my full thoughts on it. So, moving on, my final thing I've read that I want to talk about is Real PG. So this is a new series. It only has one chapter out. And so let me just read the description of it on Bach Updates. So, Motoba Hitachi has lived a boring high school life until his Kohai invited him to a real-life simulation event of Incubate Castle, an online game they both played. But what seemed like a harmless replication of the game turned out to be as real as it could get. Now Hitachi must find allies and get out and survive this reality of a game. So, yeah, so this guy is just a high school that hates everything because, you know, he's in high school. Then his underclassman comes up and says, hey man, check out this awesome game we used to, you know that game we used to play? Check this out. And then they go to this thing and then they get, like, some weird bracelets where they uses their stress to form magic spells. Because, yeah, that makes sense, I guess. So yeah, they immediately make asses of themselves by just, like, putting on the bracelets, then screaming some random enchantment thing, and just nothing happening. And then everyone starts dying because some jackass with a gun and glasses decides, yeah, I'm just going to start killing everyone to play. just like that. He's like that dude in that one episode of South Park where he just like he has no life, just goes around killing everyone's character.
Only
he actually people. Kills them. Yes.
Yeah.
And he just has a fucking gun too. Like I don't know where he really got the gun from, but he's like hanging out, and then he just like summons a bunch of daggers from the sky and just kills everyone. Then he pulls out a fucking Glock and just like starts shooting people, I guess. And it's. This series is actually really cool. It's got pretty decent art. I'm not sure who it's by, but it is really cool. It's got like some decent magic. It's got like some decent looking magic spells that they've showed. And yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I'm actually looking forward to seeing where all this, like what this shit is and why it's all been set up the way it has. And yeah, so definitely recommend Real PG.
It kind of reminds me of another one I read a while, ages ago. I haven't seen anything about it since, but it was basically the same setup. Except he was in a bit of a better situation emotionally than the main character. And basically there was this RPG kind of game that was sort of a new thing. They've been playing it for a while, and mm-hmm. It's like complete sensory immersion. You put on like the Cerberus hat.
Are you thinking Dot Hack?
No, it's definitely not that. But and basically you're completely VR immersion into the game, you know, complete sensory feedback, and but within there's, you know, limiters. It's not full on the Matrix and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so wait a minute. If you typed /fuck, you know, would you actually be able to have the sensation of fucking somebody? Or is that part of the limiters? But I'm just wondering, like you said there were limitations, so I'm just trying to figure out what they are. Like, you know,
It was a while ago.
If you get slashed, do you actually, like, feel the sword going through, or is it just like, ow, I got pinched?
From what I understand, it is sort of... It's more along the lines of the Matrix kind of uplink, where mm-hmm. it's your consciousness goes somewhere else. Your body's not actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your consciousness going into cyberspace. But basically what happens is there's somebody hijacks the game,
mm-hmm.
the entire game, and basically says, hey, beat the dungeon, all 150 levels of it. Or stay in there forever, / try and take your funny helmets off and die.
Sounds...
And, you know, and it's all from the inside of the game, and you get... And it's all a contained atmosphere, so you don't know whether... A couple people try to take the helmets off, but you have no idea whether or not they live or not. And so on and so forth. So it's... You're very much in the same situation, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, sounds cool.
Yeah, it was fairly interesting. I think it kind of just stopped, to be honest, after a while, which was unfortunate, but I don't even know what a name that would be I would look for it. But
Dot Hack, because it sounds like a Dot Hack.
It's not Dot Hack. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. Dot Hack is fucking weird. Like, there was one where, like, oh man, I can't log out now, I'm stuck in the universe forever. There's another one where, like, if you die in here, you go into a coma in real life, then die. Because of rogue AI and hypnotism.
Yeah.
Because that happens.
Yeah, but it's not Dot Hack.
Okay, so I guess it's gonna do it for stuff we've read. Now, battle!
Battle!
Yep. Budge got it. Bobby, that's the Mortal Kombat theme song.
Shut up!
Okay, you're gonna have to do a Let's Watch at some point. Okay, so... This week's battle is between Bovi-1 and Punchatron. Bovi-1, so it is the battle of Lelouch versus Light.
And the theme being maniacal laughter. Okay. Don't forget that.
Okay, so yes, so who has so so like you guys want to factor into your arguments who has the best maniacal laugh. So, Bobby Wan, your opening statements. You are debating on behalf of Lelouch.
Okay, so I guess I'm not gonna. Okay, so just opening up with Lelouch. He is an extremely versatile person in his universe. Not only does he pretty much command his own army, he controls a power called the Geass. And his Geass, basically anyone who he makes eye contact with, he can order to do anything he wants. So if he tells you to die, you will shoot yourself in the head. If he tells you to jump up and down, you will jump up and down probably until you die, because he didn't tell you when to stop. He's exceptionally intelligent. He spent a lot of his time in high school skipping class to go and win a bunch of money from people at chess, as well as soon as he gets the opportunity, he starts commanding an army that has no idea who he is and manages to make them win a battle where they're highly outnumbered and basically takes command of them after that point. As for his maniacal laugh, Lelouch, not only does he have a beautiful maniacal laugh, both in English dubbed and in the Japanese, but he uses it with great frequency because of the many victories that he has. So that will be my opening statement.
Okay, Punchatron, your opening statement for Light from Death Note.
Alright, so Yagami Light, as I suppose that's the Japanese translation saying of the name, meeting with the last name. But he is, as Lelouch is, a prodigy. He finds there's something wrong with the world. How justice isn't being served. So he finds this notebook, the Death Note title drop, and he, basically, it has the instructions of how to use it, conveniently, inside the notebook. And what he does is he uses it to eliminate criminals, regardless of whether they... If you're a criminal, he's coming after you. This basically gains him the reputation of Kira, the Japanization of the English word killer, is what I've been finding. Although, it could just be Kira. You never know. I didn't really look into it all that well. And so, but the great thing is, his father is basically the head of the police in the city. And he's also the head of the task force. I mean, besides Al, going after the serial killer Kira. So, and aiding with this adventure into serial killing is, oh my god, I've forgotten his name.
Ryuk?
That's the one. Is Ryuk. Literally a death god. Basically the person who gave Light the Death Note. And he's kind of down on Earth for his entertainment. He wants to see how this turns out. And frankly, I think Ryuk is kind of a feeding mechanism to the absolutely insane laugh that Light has. He doesn't do it often, but he doesn't seem to be against doing it in the presence of a lot of people. Like, in one instance, he does it in his bedroom at home. when I believe his mother and sister were both there. So, he does not fear reprisal of any sort. I think I've talked long enough for now.
Okay, so, Bovi. Go.
Okay, well, so basically, when fighting against Light, Lelouch has many great advantages that pretty much nullify anything that Light has. Light has notebook. Of course, the rules say that he has to know the name and the face of the person he's trying to kill. Now, in all likelihood, he would be trying to kill Zero, who is Lelouch's, basically, alias, who never shows his face and uses just the name Zero. And, of course, this is the personality that controls the army, and this is the one they most likely know. However, if he met him in person, he would know his face. However, Lelouch V. Britannia goes by the name of Lelouch Lamperouche. Actually, you're going to have to let me go for a second. I have to answer my door.
God damn it, Bovi. Fuck's sake, Bovi.
God damn it. I win.
You did not stop the battle, yes. By virtue of Bovi fucking leaving mid-battle, Punitron wins by default.
Greatest two words in the English language.
By default?
Default. Default. Default.
Oh, God, so just get it. So, yeah, so Punitron wins, I guess.
I had a great comeback, too.
Oh, yeah, so... Yeah, just give your comeback, then.
Alright, so... You know, he says Zero, whatever. He figured out L.
So anyways...
Bobby, you lost.
Are you coming up with a little... I'm sorry, some guy came to my door asking if he could buy bread from me.
Well, fuck you, dude. You left mid-battle.
I can't control other people.
You left mid-battle.
You cannot let me lose because of that. I have such a strong defense here.
You left mid-battle, so you lost by DQ.
Fuck you.
Fuck that, people. You can go to the forums and make your own thing there.
It's the battle of the characters, man.
Yep, but you left, so... Okay, fine. Go ahead.
All right, so... Anyways, so if he actually met him in person... Lelouch V. Britannia goes by Lelouch Lamperouche, and the number of people who know his actual name amount to about 3. And those 3 people will never sell him out. Except for one, and Light would never get near him anyways. So, basically, while Lelouch still has the power of the Geass, Light is pretty much powerless against him. Done.
Okay, Punitron.
Alright. Now... Light already beat somebody who had very much the same defense as Lelouch does, L, who was very much, in my opinion, and I'm sure most people's opinion, much smarter than Lelouch about concealing his identity. Now, and, I mean, I mentioned the amount of people. L had one person, maybe, who knew his name. Maybe. I don't even know if his butler knew it, for sure. Probably, actually.
Yes, he did.
That was part of the gambit there.
Wasn't Watami essentially just his dad?
Yes, pretty much.
But anyway, he wouldn't even need to get to Lelouch directly. Anyway, it would just be, hey, look, I know the names of one of the people who knows his name, I can determine the conditions of their death. Came, and, you know, writes, hey, he tells me Zero's real name, then hell, I could make him go kill Zero. Done. And also, frankly, Light has better control over his powers. Lelouch's Geass is unpredictable. He has no idea what's going to happen, how it's going to evolve. He gets caught off guard on multiple occasions when his Geass evolves unexpectedly and his plans fall apart. Light knows exactly the terms of his powers, and he knows his limits. He plays within them, so to speak.
Okay, then.
I rest my case.
Okay. So, based on your two arguments, and not the fact that Bobby left mid-battle, I'm still going to give this a Punchatron.
Yes!
It's like, I do not know much about, like, Lelouch, because I haven't actually watched Code Geass before, but I once saw him get shot. So Light wins.
And he survived. Light loses.
No, fuck that. Light wins. Light is much more of a methodical planner. He's able to control many more. He will control way more variables than Lelouch is. And yeah, like he'd be able to if he was able to get L killed with a Death Note, I'm pretty sure he'd be able to get Lelouch.
Alright, I will concede this battle, but I must say, if Pudge had brought that up before my rebuttal, I had so much ammo there, but I'll leave it for now.
Okay, so, who am I battling next?
I don't know.
I think.
Okay, so Bobby's gonna be early in the next battle, which I have decided just now to be a battle of magical dudes with magical companions. So it's going to be Hyde and Closer versus Zatch Bell and the guy that has his book.
This is going to be a train wreck.
Yes, it is.
I know neither character. Yay!
I'll be debating for Hyde and Closer.
Sweet. I get the crazy doll.
Yes, who is a high school kid with a magical cell phone, who also walks around with a living teddy bear that smokes cigars, drinks whiskey, and has a fucking 7-foot chainsaw living in his back.
So, fun stuff.
Okay, so I guess that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Anime Podcast. Be sure to tune in next episode, when we have battles and anime and stuff. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for our Movies Podcast, where we'll be laying out next week's Let's Watch Extravaganza.
I can't believe we're doing this again. Why did you want to do this again?
Because fuck you, that's why. I just got back to school, dude. I need something to take the pressure off.
Well, next week I start work again.
Fuck, we'll do it over the weekend.
No, okay. I have a lot more free time during the week than the weekend. Anyways.
Okay, so yeah. Until next time, I'm Dead.
I'm Bobby-Wan.
I'm Putatron.
Ooh, and before I go, I'll be hosting this battle in the forums, so anybody actually listening who decides to join the forums, go there, debate amongst yourselves who would win, and post your own battles. You know, we might use one of them. So, we'll see you next time.